What's up, Commanders fans? Welcome into another episode of Believe in Commanders. I'm Brian Murphy, joined by my guy, AAA, the original 1-3, Anthony Armstrong. AAA, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm feeling good, man. I got my tight shirt on, so my muscles are just bulging right now. I'm feeling swole, man.
I thought you looked a little swole there, but hey, don't forget to. Yeah, exactly. And we're going to talk about how this team might be feeling pretty swole after this draft class. We're going to get into all of that. But don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, tell a Commander's friend, tell a Commander's friend's mom, tell your mom, tell everybody to like and subscribe to Believe in Commanders. We're part of the Believe Network. You can check out every single team in the NFL and beyond. So check us out at Believe Commanders. We got a lot of good stuff coming up for you with the draft and with the team. But as always, like, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. We have our shows on YouTube. As AAA always likes to say, hit that little bell. I don't know which way it is if you're watching us right now. Hit that bell one way or the other. Make sure you're up to date when we post a new video. And of course, check us out on all your favorite podcasting platforms. We're going to talk about the draft today. It was a big deal over the weekend for the Commanders and for all the teams across the league. But we got to thank our friends at BetOnline. AAA, tell them about those guys.
Yes, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from the MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff. You got all your latest stats, news, scores, all that is available to you from your favorite teams. You get your latest odds, get the lines, including your latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sports out there. Head to the website now, betonline.ag. Use our code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV. Get yourself a welcome bonus, 50% welcome bonus. You can see it on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. And BetOnline is where the game starts. I was digging around on BetOnline. I was digging around, and they have player future. So if you already think your rookie is going to act up and show out, Jaden Daniels is on there. They have over under 18.5 touchdowns. That's way too early. Brian's taking the over.
Oh, sorry. Way too early.
It's way too early, but I still like it. Put that money on if you want to. You get the over there. They got over under on interceptions as well, sacks, all of those, even records. And there was one that I can't find. It was on there. It was asking about if the team name is going to change in Washington. Now, I ain't trying to stir no pot, but that was up there. There were a lot of options, and Redskins was one at plus 2,000. So, hey, if you're feeling like you're going to make a switch, you can go put a couple of dollars on there. Use our code BELIEVE, BLEAV, get that 50% welcome bonus. Shout out to the folks over there at BetOnline.
I guarantee Josh Harris and Adam Peters and Dan Quinn do not want to hear about the name change right now after this draft class. But man, that's a little spicy.
I was getting a little intrigued by it, but a couple of lines that I did pay attention to. MVP race, Patrick Mahomes is a favorite at plus 600. But if you talk about Washington Commanders players for the Offensive Rookie of the Year, Jaden Daniels is not the favorite. Caleb Williams is, but you can get Jaden Daniels at plus 900, and then you can get our guy Johnny Newton. He would be an upset if he made it to the Defensive Rookie of the Year. He's at plus 4,000, so that's on the list. But what is this here? My handwriting is bad, but like I said before, Redskins was on that list for name change at plus 2,000. So if you think that's going to happen, you can go over there and get in on it. But I want to ask you this real quick. Did you think that there were going to be six quarterbacks taken that high in the top 10, top 12 picks it was? Did you think it was going to be six?
I did not think it was going to be that many that high, for sure. I thought maybe six could sneak in there because of Bo Nix. He kind of was, kind of the toss up there. But for all six of them to go in the top 12 was absolutely crazy. I'm getting tongue tied because I can't even believe it happened still, and we're 3-4 days removed. But I would have definitely taken the under. I thought that Michael Penix would probably go in the 20s, and we talked about in our last episode, I thought no way he would go top 10, especially not to the Falcons. So that was absolutely wild how that draft shook out. And then going down the line, the next quarterback was Spencer Rattler, taken in the 5th round. So that might be even more surprising. Six taken in the top 12 and not another one taken until the 5th round. A huge gap there. Just an interesting draft all around, especially with the most important position on the field.
Yeah, that I understand that it is the most important position. I understand that, they say if you got your guy, you got to go get him. I just feel like you could have waited on some of those scenarios. But hey, I'm not in those front offices. I do feel that the Commander's front office, shout out to y'all. I think y'all listen. I don't know. Y'all got it playing ambient noise in the background whenever we drop a new episode, because y'all are like, you know what? Those guys know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said that going into this draft, I almost didn't too much care who they've selected. But I knew that they had to come home with certain groceries. There were positions of need that needed to be addressed. And Dag Nabbit, Adam Peters, shout out to you. Y'all filled up that basket. Y'all got everything that you need. Different names than I would have expected, but I like the way that they navigated the draft. So I want to ask you, starting out, how would you rate Adam Peters' first draft at the helm? I mean, it doesn't have to be a letter grade. It doesn't have to be an A or a B or a 85. Just what are your thoughts about this first draft? What do you got?
I think it's just really solid. I think that's the best way to put it, is solid. I think that we've seen all offseason they've kind of made over the roster. I think that they want to bring in their guys. And by they, I mean, obviously, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn specifically. They wanted to bring in some guys. I want to look at maybe once we get to OTAs or get to the summer where we're at with the roster, because there's been so much turnover, and there are going to be even more guys that are kind of trimmed from this roster that have been holdovers. I'll be curious to see what the number is. I did a quick dive. Sorry, I'm kind of diving off here. Dan Quinn, I did a quick look at his draft classes from Atlanta, and pretty often he signed all of his draft picks, right? Or they made the roster. Maybe one or two didn't. So you have to imagine what 9 guys were drafted in this class, I think is the number. You have to imagine that at least 8, maybe all 9 of those guys are going to end up on this team. So that's just really solid to me. It goes back to my word, and that's my grade, is solid. I think that they, like you said, they address some needs. Could they have maybe added another offensive lineman, maybe another offensive weapon? I don't know. You can nitpick, but I think there are 9 solid football players that were drafted to this team. Mm-hmm. And that's my word. That's my grade. And I'm excited to see how these guys contribute, not only in year one, which we'll get to, but down the line as well. And I think that this was a great start for Adam Peters. He got a lot of guys in there, and I think they're going to be guys that contribute for the foreseeable future. So solid for me.
Solid. Solid is fair. Solid is fair. If I had to give it a letter grade, I'd say he'd had an A. I think it would be an A. If you're being picky, just because you made the trade with Philly, I didn't see the initial, like, what the details were. All I looked up and said, oh, the Commanders are up. Doom, 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 doom. They've traded to Philly. I said, wait a second. Hold the phone. That's not what we do over here. But once he saw that he turned that into 2 other second round picks and was still able to make those selections, I think it's a pretty good draft overall. I mean, you mentioned 9 players, and they fit every single position of need. This is one of the teams that had one of the longest lists of positions of need. Obviously, quarterback, got Jaden Daniels, you got Johnny Newton. And I looked at Johnny Newton's tape. My goodness, I'll talk about that in a second. But Johnny Newton's going to be a player. Mike Sanster, Samer still, he was actually plus 5,000 at defensive rookie of the year. Ben Sinnott, I like what he's going to be able to do, add some flexibility out there. Brandon Coleman, that's the one spot I think people are a little bit unsure about, because you didn't get one of the higher rated tackles, but you got a guy that's really, really, he's been productive. He's played across the offensive line. And frankly, I wanted to say he had 1 sack. He's allowed 1 sack in 723 snaps. Let me read that again for y'all. 1 sack in 723 sacks. Well, and snaps. I don't know if it's been guard, tackle, or not, but you got a guy that doesn't let people get to his quarterback. Luke McCaffrey coming in at wide receiver. Jordan McGee, Dominique Hampton at safety, and then Javonte Jean-Baptiste coming out of Notre Dame on the edge. So they filled up every single need. And he navigated this draft well. They had their guys tabbed. So I give him a good solid A. I think it was a good draft, being able to fill in the positions of need for sure.
I agree. And you speak of letter grades, and I know I almost feel silly even reading through them, but we were kind of talking before we recorded that the grades kind of felt like they were all over, but it seems like a lot of people agree that they did a pretty good job. I'm seeing a lot of A's, a lot of B pluses. And what does that mean? I don't know. Nothing really. We have to see how these guys play, how they perform, how long their careers are, yeah. All that good stuff. I don't think you can really grade a draft until, I'm making up a number, 3 years in. I mean, you got
to see. That's about right.
Would you say? I mean, that's just kind of the first number that came to mind. But you got to see how these guys perform, what systems they're in. Are they still on the team? We know about the 2020 class for the Commanders. They're all gone. Grades aside, but I think the consensus is a lot of these experts or these guys that spend their time watching, reading, writing about the NFL – give Adam Peters a really solid score, and that has to be encouraging to Commanders fans.
Really does. It really does. You got some ballers. One thing that I saw that was really intriguing was that I think he selected 3 or 4 team captains,
mm-hmm.
right? Guys that are coming from, you know, big programs. I think the CB out of Michigan, Sabre Steele, he was, and if I'm saying his name wrong, I apologize. Y'all let me know.
We'll get it.
Yeah, we're new to this, right? It's new, this new name. We're working on it, but hit us up at Believe Commanders on TikTok, on IG. Let us know if I'm saying it wrong. Give me the right pronunciation. Mike, come on the show and tell me to my face. Matter of fact, he's a team captain at Michigan, national champion and team captain, right? So you're starting to bring in players that, performed on the field. They were able to control the room of a whole entire of a championship winning team. So that's a good thing to be able to bring in guys of high character that are going to up the standard of what's required to get active in this league, and they're ready to work. So bringing in guys that are team captains, and they're, what else are they? Athletes. They're bringing that's in some right. good athletes. Brian, tell them about how these guys are athletic as hell.
Yeah. I mean, and to give Ron Rivera credit or not credit, maybe that's a taboo on this, but Ron Rivera largely kind of went with this model as well from years past, from what I remember. But there's something called a relative athletic score, and it was done. I want to get the guy's name right, but essentially it's measuring everything leading up to, you know, the draft. Essentially their shuttle time, their 40 time, bench press, height, weight, all that good stuff. And it seems like that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and the Commanders as a whole were largely going for these guys with high RAS scores. And the guy's name is Kent Lee Platt. And he kind of combines all of these scores and gives them a relative athletic score. And I think it's 1 out of 10. Essentially, it looks like guys maybe above 8 are really what you're shooting for. And it seems like the Commanders really just kind of focused in on guys that were freak athletes. And if that's your mold, if that's what you're looking for, the Commanders stuck to their mold because a lot of these guys were hitting in the green, which essentially looks like above 9 or so. And just I love that. And you know, whether or not they turn out to be solid picks and big time performers in the NFL, we obviously remains to be seen. But it seems like Adam Peters and Dan Quinn had a mold, had a guy in mind, and these guys are football players too. Obviously, that factors into it. You need football players. I mean, there's one thing to be a freak athlete, but can you catch? Can you run? Can you do the right routes? All that good stuff. But it seems like athletes, and as you mentioned, guys with high character, it seems like those were kind of two things that they were looking for. And across the board, that seems to be the common theme. And if we were going back to grades, I would grade them solid again on that because they kind of stuck to a mold. They stuck to what they were looking for, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And I have to applaud that. Whether it works out, obviously, is down the line. But they had these guys in mind, and it looks like they went and got guys that fit their scheme, their systems, and what they want to do for the Commanders. And I'm excited about that. And I think that there's a lot to be said about not wavering from that, not reaching. And it seems like every pick they had kind of fit into this kind of, you know, mold scenario. And that's exciting to see.
Yeah. When you give yourself, it's like having an avatar for your player. I remember reading a story that Bill Parcells put out. He informed all his coaches and scouts, have an avatar of the type of player that you need at a position, right? So if for your tackles, you want them to be this tall, this this much weight with a certain arm length, things of that nature. And I know that they talk about Brandon Coleman. A lot of people have him projected to be more of a guard, but Adam Peters and crew are going to put that guy at tackle, let that big guy out, get out there and dance, put his hands on somebody. So you could tell they were looking for high character individuals, people that are leaders, people that are productive on the field, people that like to compete, people that are some dogs. And one of the quotes that Sanders still had, he said, put him in the slot and let him cause havoc.
All right.
Put him in the slot and let him cause havoc. One cool thing about him, number one, Nick Saban, he was on the draft. And I think it was really cool to see Nick Saban on there because he's recruited a lot of these guys. He was like, hell, everybody you telling me to talk about, I didn't get. He didn't go to Alabama, but he knows about him. He knows he's had to play against them. He's had to scout them. So he had great insight. Hearing him say that Sanders still is tabbed as the best pound for pound football player in this entire draft. You got him in Washington in the second round at number 50. Former wide receiver turned DB. Now, think about this. There were three DBs, I'm naming three, that were former receivers that have turned to DB, previously coming to the NFL, that had success underneath Dan Quinn. Trevon Diggs down in Dallas, got a big, big contract. Deron Bland down there in Dallas as well. And then Richard Sherman going way, way back to the Legion of Boom days. Remember, he played receiver when he first got to college. Yes, he's a very smart player, and he ended up playing very well for Seattle. So there's something about Sanders still having played receiver. Now he's coming over there. He's on that defensive side. He's only been doing it for what, 1 year? He played receiver for 3 years at Michigan. And then now he's made the switch thing in 2022. So he's 1 or 2 years at the DB position. And he's in a very important spot in that slot. So to see how he's going to match up with guys like CeeDee Lamb down the line and just what he's able to add to this defense, very, very exciting, very interesting to see.
I wanted to throw that up there. Sorry if I'm bombarding you there. But that is the relative athletic score, and you can see all the green right there. That's what I wanted to share, and this graphic does a way better job. And they were the number one graded class for this 2024 draft. So that's kind of an idea of what we're looking at here. You mentioned Brandon Coleman about whether he's a guard or tackle. A 9.97 shows that he's athletic. And whether or not he is a guard or tackle, it kind of lets you know that he can maybe make up for a couple of deficiencies there. But that was what I was trying to say. And this graphic kind of does a little bit better job if you're watching here. Yeah, so a lot of green on there if you're just listening.
Yeah, if you're just listening. So Jaden Daniels and Johnny Newton didn't test, so they don't have RAS scores. Sanders still was the Commander's lowest. He's at 8.45. Everybody else was 9.2 and above, with Brandon Coleman being the highest at 9.97. So take that for what it is. You know, if you go look it up, the fella is Math Bomb, at Math Bomb on X is Kenneth Lee Platt. He put this stuff together all himself, so go dig into those numbers. And maybe you'll, you know, something, come up with something, right? You'll be like, okay, all right, I kind of like what they're bringing in. They're not just bringing in big names. These guys are probably lesser known. I say lesser known, but hell, they're productive and they're athletic, so love to have those guys in the fold.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's kind of what I mean, that mold. And like you said, an avatar that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn kind of drew in their head. Mm-hmm. It feels like they got nine guys that kind of fit into that mold, which is exciting to see.
Now, from those guys that have been drafted, which player are you most excited about or do you think could make an impact this year?
Well, are we going to include Jaden Daniels? Because I hope that he's the answer. So I'm going to kind of go beyond Jaden Daniels. Because obviously, you hope that your number two overall pick, the quarterback, the could-be face of your franchise is the one that makes a huge impact. But other than JD, I mean, that's kind of a huge elephant in the room. Other than the guy that you know, are highly touted. I'm really looking at Newton, man. It seems like they were super excited. Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois. It seems like they were super excited the fact that he was even available in the second round. I mean, you look at mocks and mocks are what they are, and it's how the board shakes out when the time comes. But it seems like he really could have been a first round pick. Mm-hmm. The fact that they get him there in the second round, I mean, he says it. Adam Peters says it on his phone call. If you watch those Instagram clips that the Commanders put up, they're really cool. But he sounds stoked that he's even there and even has the chance to take him. We mentioned needs and stuff like that. Well, this team was 4-13. It seems like everything was a little bit of a need. So while you have two solid defensive tackles in Daron Payne and John Allen, Johnny Newton seems like he can come in and cause havoc, and I'm really excited about him. I think he's going to make a big play or two here his rookie year, and I'm excited to see what he brings on that defense.
Man, you took mine. You took mine. Sorry. It's okay. No, you're good. I had to go and watch some tape on this dude, right? I was like, let me see what he is. And once you watch the tape, you're like, this guy shows up everywhere. And I mean, obviously, highlights are highlights, but the man knocks down passes at the line of scrimmage. I've seen two or three blocked field goals / extra points. I've seen him fly around and pick up, you know, fumbles that have come out late. I've seen him force fumbles. I haven't seen him lose a one-on-one block. Like, he plays, he does everything really good. He gives me these Aaron Donald vibes. I know that's a very lofty comparison. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna do another episode where we look at this and we get to watch some tape together. But the guy is good. You got a first round talent in the second round. And even though they did make that trade with Philly, they were still able to get, they still had two additional second round picks and got some good quality players. So Johnny Newton is mine because he can do it across the line of scrimmage. But my next one from that is I want to see how they use Ben Sinnott, depending on how you say that. Sinnott would be perfect for him being in D.C., but if
that's
it's
right, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? So,
I think it is Sinnott. I think I heard that on clips and things like that.
Okay, good. Well, if it's Sinnott, if it's Mr. him,
Senator,
he's very flexible, right? He number one, he's wearing 34, but he's at H-back tight end. He says, hey, he can do everything. He's already been thrown with Jaden in California, so they already got a little bit of a connection. That's going to give you a lot of – I feel like when Rivera was around saying – flexibility, position flex got to be, you know, left the sour taste in your mouth. But I mean, this guy's giving you that Kyle Juszczyk vibes, right? He's able to line up in the backfield and be a lead blocker. He's able to also be in the wing or, you know, run routes as a tight end. So I think it's going to give you a good compliment to Zach Ertz.
Well, and go watch the Instagram clip of his call. And I think, I don't know. You can read into these a little bit. I know they're probably edited to show the best parts and that sort of thing. But Adam Peters, if I'm not mistaken, mentions George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk to Ben Sinnott when they drafted him. And it's obvious, you know, a rookie who's never played a down in the NFL, it's hard to compare them to two guys who just do really great things, guys who have played in Super Bowls. But the fact that Adam Peters, who was around those guys for so long, he mentions them by name, that tells you what he thinks of Ben Sinnott. And I'm excited, like you're saying, all the different ways that they can use him, tight end, in the backfield, all kinds of stuff. And when you get a rookie quarterback, a tight end, a guy, a running back out of the backfield with sure hands, That's a huge, huge thing for a young quarterback.
Yeah, former walk-on came in. I think he put on 40 pounds when he got up there to K-State. So you got somebody who's hungry. He knows what it means to work. And just offensive-minded, you're like, ooh, where can I put this new chess piece? He says that what he can do, he says it's unlimited. He can do whatever he's asked to do. So that's going to be exciting to see what he brings to the table. Let's talk about just the overall. Were there any other teams that you felt drafted well, or you're like, oh, okay, I think they did pretty good with it? What other teams do you think did pretty solid on this draft?
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but it seems like the Eagles always do a good job, and it would stink if that pick that the Commanders trade to them, Cooper DeJean, turns out to be a stud. I mean, You never know, but you kind of mentioned that in passing. That left an awful taste in my mouth. I get that you added another second round pick. I wish it would have been with anybody else. But that being said, Sanders Still and Sinnott are going to make up for anything that Cooper DeJean could possibly do. They're going to run him over at some point, I'm sure. But the Eagles always do a good job. I saw a graphic of the Steelers draft class, and it just looked it looked thick, and yeah. they got some bodies up there that just kind of look like Pittsburgh Steelers players. I love what Mike Tomlin does year in and year out. I think they did a really good job. Those would be two. I don't mean to just go to the state of Pennsylvania, but those two teams kind of stood out to me specifically with what they did. And they're just, you know, you feel like there are organizations that always draft well. The Ravens, I feel like they were just getting guys that you're like, oh my gosh, how did he last to where he was? And then of course the Ravens took him. They got TJ Tampa, a corner I really liked. So yeah, there were a couple of teams that just seemed to always do well. And I think that they showed up again this year. How about you? Yeah. Anybody stand out for you?
You know, I think Arizona navigated things well. I think Minnesota did a good job, right? When you think you're getting Dallas Turner down at 17 and they traded back up to make sure they got him. They had him. They got J.J. McCarthy. They got their quarterback. They didn't have to trade a whole bunch of pieces to get up into the second to get him. So you still get J.J. McCarthy. And then you get Dallas Turner, who, you know, arguably could have been a top 10 pick in any other normal draft where you aren't taking six players. So, hell, he could have been in Atlanta, right? That was probably the expectation. So Minnesota did a good job, especially after losing Kirk Cousins and he's walking. I think that was a good pick. One thing that's just scary to me, and we mentioned it on the last episode, Xavier Worthy going over there to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They just seem to continue to get faster. He's the fastest guy in the league right now. I mean, that is what it is. Until somebody shows me otherwise, he's the fastest guy in the league. Give me those two teams. I think Minnesota did a pretty solid job. Arizona did a good job as well.
And then Jaden Hicks, that you mentioned the Chiefs, they picked up a safety, Jaden Hicks, who I think a lot of Commanders writers and people thought could potentially be a good fit for the Commanders. Chiefs just kind of always do it right. And, it'll be exciting to see where it's always exciting to see these rookies and where they contribute and who contributes for what team. So that's the most fun thing about the draft for me is like you see this name who might kind of, you know, I had it on all weekend. So I would hear a name and be like, oh, okay. And watch a little bit of, you know, the highlights they showed, but it's fun to then fast forward a couple of years from now, or even in the same year. I'm thinking of Puka Nacua and this guy who was kind of announced in the middle of a commercial break or as an afterthought ends up being a stud. That's the exciting stuff. And so it's fun to try to guess who that could be, who could stand out. Along those lines, you mentioned a player that can make an immediate impact for the Commanders. Did you have anybody that maybe needs a couple of years who maybe down the line, maybe one of these late round picks could be a contributor? While you're thinking, I had a guy in mind I really, really like. Again, I know I'm bringing up the athleticism. I know that's not everything, but I think that the McGee pick, the linebacker that they got, I'm blanking on his first
Jordan
name.
McGee. Jordan McGee. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm giving him compliments and then insulting him at the same time. Jordan McGee. I think that he is going to be a solid player. They show the highlights that he's just kind of all over the place. I think him coming in as a linebacker, could he potentially be a little bit of a hybrid? I know, like you said, that's kind of a taboo word with the previous regime, but the chance to learn under Bobby Wagner, under Frankie Louvu, the fact that he doesn't have to come in and contribute right away can kind of cut his teeth maybe on special teams. But I think Jordan McGee could be a stud down the line, and I'm excited to see what he does. Maybe not in his rookie year, but when we're talking about the 2024 draft class, 3-4 years down the road, I think Jordan McGee is going to be a name that we're remembering for a long time.
Yeah, especially with the fact that they did not pick up the option for Jamin Davis, right? You could say he's either playing for the chance to stay with Washington, or he's going to go on to another team, and that could give the spot to Jordan McGee. One thing I do want to point out while you mentioned that all those players, 100% attendance by the veterans out there for the voluntary workout. So they don't have to be there. It's good to see everybody out there. And soon they should have their rookie mini camp. Somebody I think that will need maybe a year or two, Luke McCaffrey. He's former quarterback. made the transition to playing receiver. I mean, obviously he's Christian McCaffrey's brother. He's Ed McCaffrey's son. So he's got the NFL lineage. Yeah, you've heard of those guys before. He's got an NFL pedigree about him, but he's only a couple years into playing that receiver position. And he's been busting his ass to learn it and to get better at it. So to be able to sit back and watch Terry operate, sit back and watch Jahan operate and learn the position even more at this level, especially in the slot. That's a different, I mean, he's done it, but he brings some side. And that 4.46 is a underrated speed to him. So he's a guy that, you know, as he grows, I think he's going to catch up to it quickly. So he may not need a whole 2 years, but I think that you should see him continue to slowly grow and get more comfortable with the position as the season goes along.
Yeah, we barely mentioned him, but yeah, you mentioned his name, and I think I've seen a couple people say, was that a reach? Could he have waited a little bit? But I'm excited for him. You mentioned the name, which everybody knows. But yeah, it's tough to bring him in as he right now. He's probably your third receiver, right? I mean, or at least you think so. He has a chance to be. That might be a lot of pressure on him in year one, but I think he'll grow into it if he's any bit of the worker that his dad and brother are.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the roster now. You look at Sinnott, right? Sinnott, Lordy. You got Ben Sinnott, you got Zach Ertz. So you don't necessarily have to go three wide receiver set. You're always in a, you know, you're going to have a two tight end set where somebody can kind of flex out and move around. You still have your receivers and you can bring McCaffrey in those key situations. So you're not forced to just go three wide like things were happening last year. Now you get a little bit of flexibility in that.
That's a good point. I think we'll dive into that more, you know, once we get into the summer and stuff. But where maybe they don't have quite the names in the receiver room, you mentioned Zach Ertz, you mentioned the tight ends. Austin Eckler is a good pass catcher. So there are other ways potentially to get those targets and maybe kind of ease any receivers into this offense. That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. But then big stat about Luke McCaffrey. I think he tied Rome Odunze with 22 contested catches last year. So Rome Odunze went 9 to Chicago, and then you get Luke McCaffrey. Not saying they're the same caliber of receiver, but you got a guy who's able to make contested catches as well. So he's made some good one-handed plays. Very fiery player. You've seen some of his highlights, but it'll be good. It's going to be exciting. I love this time of year because there's like no reason to be upset, right? Everything is bright and shiny, and there's good things coming down the pike. And I love this part of the year. I think this is probably one of my favorite times of the year until there's more W's on Sundays, which should hopefully come soon. But right now, I enjoy after the draft because they've been drafted. Their dreams are coming true. They get to show up to camp now. They get to actually get a helmet now. But the one thing they got to know is that once you step on that field, this ain't college no more. Mm-hmm. All that love that you heard from them coaches, hey, man, we love you, want to keep you in. They're going to turn it up on you when it's time to get out there for OTAs, rookie mini camps. We need to be on it. So take advantage of this time, man. Congratulations to all the draft picks, to every team that they're on, and especially the ones up there in the burgundy and gold.
That's right. And we're excited to see what they do. And we will obviously be covering them all season long, not just the season, but the summer. You can be sure to tune in to us on TuneIn Radio, SiriusXM Stadium, Reach TV, YouTube, all your favorite podcasting platforms. Be sure to check us out because we're going to be covering it all. And it's just getting started. The draft is, you know, it feels like, man, what a huge weekend. It's all over. But like Anthony said, it's just beginning for these guys and for this team. And we're going to be covering it every step of the way. Looking forward to it, too, because I think a new chapter is rolling in. I'm sure that's being said a lot, but I really feel like a new chapter. There's a buzz. There's an excitement. And like Anthony said, when these W's start to rack up, it's going to be through the roof.
It is going to be through the roof. But hit us up on Believe Commanders on Instagram, on Twitter. I want to ask y'all this question. The next draft is in Green Bay. Would y'all go to that draft? Obviously, when is it going to be in the D.C. area? That would be exciting, too. So would y'all go to the draft in person in Green Bay next year? Hit us up at Believe Commanders. Let us know something. And then last but not least, shout out to the folks over there at BetOnline. They are our sponsors. They hold it down for us. And check them out. Use our code BELIEVE, BLEAV. Get that 50% welcome bonus. But that's all we got for you today. The draft is over. This episode is over, but we'll be back with another one coming soon. And I'm going to be breaking down some Johnny Newton tape. So you got to get to the YouTube to see the tape alongside my handsome face. But for Brian Murphy, another handsome face, I'm Anthony Armstrong. Y'all take it easy. We'll talk to y'all later.